Well, hello everybody out there in Music Video Land, and welcome to another edition of Music Video Land Podcast, brought to you by your good friends at imvdb.com, the Internet Music Video Database. I'm Adam, I work at imvdb, and then with me, as usual, is the other person that works at imvdb, Doug Klinger. How are you, Doug?
Doing super good, Adam. Working.
Working. Doug, yeah, Doug's been working all the live long day, every day, all about music videos. And then we have with us someone who also does lots of work for IMVDB. It's Mr. Adam Alexander of Fringe Music Fix. Adam, how's it going?
Pretty good.
And you were on your Windows 8, like 1997 Acer laptop.
I am.
That's good. And so
it's not really 1997, is it?
It's powered by a running wheel, like a mouse on a wheel. It's good.
And we got to do this quick, guys, because I got to make sure I see the last episode of the Jay Leno show.
Oh man.
We happen to be recording this on Thursday, February 6th, which happens to be the night before the start of the Sochi Olympics. And the last Jay Leno show, and if it was like Conan O'Brien's last show or something, we could talk about all the music videos he's been in. I don't think Jay's been in really any of them, but I do have a little bit of sort of music/music video news related to the Sochi Olympics. You ready to hear this one? The opening ceremonies are happening on Friday, the day this podcast is coming out, at 11 a.m. Eastern, whatever time that, I think it's 8 o'clock Sochi time. They're 9 hours ahead. And one of the acts, or some of the music that's going to be played when the Olympians come in, apparently, is "Tattoo, Not Gonna Get Us." Do you guys remember "Tattoo"?
Oh yeah, that's a good song too.
Sweet. Yeah, sweet. The people have pointed out how this is a little weird because "Tattoo" came out 10 years ago, but they kind of made. I remember all their music videos. I think "Not Gonna Get Us" is the one with the big truck and they're dry. It's very difficult to follow. I just watched it, but. They kind of like marketed themselves as sort of lesbian couple, and which is all obviously interesting considering the politics in Russia for the Sochi Games. So a little bit of a head scratcher, but when you think about it, Tattoo is kind of the only like big Russian act to come out of like a pop act that everybody knows, I guess, which is kind of sad when you think about it.
Yeah, I don't even know about them. I just was going along with it. So,
they're actually really good. I really enjoyed lots of their songs. They're good. Like that one's the popular one, but they've got a few.
What's the other one? They have another one that was a big hit too. Not Gonna Get Us was the biggest one, I know.
Well, can you guys sing it? Maybe that'll help.
Not gonna get us.
Nope. Yeah, there you go.
Does not help.
It was all the things she said. That's the biggest one. According, it's 51 million views on. Well, obviously, YouTube was around 2002 when this came out. But anyway, if you're talking about like Russian acts, it's weird because it's just a massive country, and you know, name any other country, and I bet I could name you like a pop act, even like Iceland, got Björk.
Boom.
I had that one right. Right, ready for you guys. But anyway, we don't have to do topical stuff. We can move on.
But that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun, everybody. I had a lot of fun talking about that. But now
we can just briefly let's. It's a little bit from last week that we should mention because it hadn't happened by the time we recorded this. I just want to mention that the Shakira featuring Rihanna "Can't Remember to Forget You" music video is pretty solidly going to be essentially the number two Vivo video of all time. I think it's worth mentioning that right now that video is sitting at 83 million views, and it's been out for about a week now, so 83 million views in a week. That's kind of insane for Vivo music videos. Only one other video, that it's Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball, has ever reached that many views that quickly. So congrats.
We now know in numerical terms, the power of both Rihanna and Shakira together. Those are two very sexy women, and there we go. And the whole video is basically about them. So we already talked about last week the butt touching. So if you want to hear our, breakdown of that video, you should see whatever we called the last episode.
So here's how we're going to tease that. If you want to hear us get deep in Rihanna and Shakira's butts, get deep into Rihanna and Shakira's butts, listen to last week's podcast. Gross.
It's funny because like Wrecking Ball was like set, like there are still like local car commercials like parodying Wrecking Ball. This doesn't seem to be such like a parodyable video. I guess I don't know if the appeal is just the sex appeal. I mean, it does have some interesting elements, but it did, like when I first saw it, I just had no inkling that it would be this popular. I guess
We knew it'd be popular. Those two artists typically have popular videos. They both have their own fan bases. You know, maybe that can be part of what contributes to it. They both have their own really built-in fan base. You know, when Rihanna puts out a solo video and it gets, you know, tens of millions of views in the first week, that's driven by her specific fan base. It's not just pop fans, it's Rihanna fans. It's people who have Twitter accounts that are like, Rihanna, notice me. And so, and Shakira's got that same kind of following. And so, you know, I think that contributed to it, the fact that there's two of them who have this huge built-in audience. But even so, like, for it to be the second most popular Vivo video, and we distinguish Vivo video because there are two Psy videos that didn't premiere on Vivo that outnumber these, outnumber all of them. But in Vivo terms, you know, the fact that it was so popular, so much more popular than any other music video, I mean, certainly other music videos have seemed to have created bigger buzzes than this video did, but it still generated the most views. So super, super weird.
Also, possibly just a little bit of a quieter time for big releases too might account for this is probably the biggest pop video that we've seen drop so far this year, other than the Bieber one that I can think of.
That's pretty true, quiet time. It is a quiet time. January, February. Not a quiet time for TV, but a little bit quieter for music.
Yeah, it takes a while to get revved up, but yeah, if you look at it, I mean, both the Bieber and the Shakira videos from last week, and in fact the One Direction video from last week, they all sit in the top five of the year. So, and then within that top 10 is the Paramore video from last week, the Colin Tilley and Enrique Iglesias video from last week. So yeah, the music video, as far as big pop acts putting out music videos this year, that stuff hasn't really revved up yet.
Well, I want to talk about something that I wanted to, we didn't get to talk about last week, but I really want to mention it, and that is the St. Vincent Digital Witness video, which came out last week, just right after we did the podcast. And I want to talk about this for one specific reason, because there's not a lot happening in this video. I think it's a great video, but it's basically St. Vincent kind of hanging out in this kind of weird industrial THX, maybe post-apocalyptic environment, but there are people like marching in line all over the place, and it's not like a lot of people, it's maybe like 20 people, and they're terrible at marching. They're like the worst marchers, uncoordinated marchers ever. Have you guys noted this? It's totally distracting me in this video.
Well, maybe that's the point. Maybe
no, it's not, because sometimes they're marching in time, and sometimes they're completely off base.
You just think they hired shitty marchers.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's tougher to march than I'm like imagining in my head. But
they have like strange. Like I know that they're all kind of wearing unusual outfits and stuff. Do they have something that could be obstructing their movement? I don't know.
Well, it's not just the form; it's the cohesion.
Just everything.
Yeah, if we're talking about like a, you know, like a 1-2 kind of thing, the first person's on one, and the next three people are on two, and the next, you know, two people are on one. It's a catastrophe. And they're kind of in the background. That's the thing. But sometimes they're kind of in the foreground. In a video where there's a lot going on, you kind of lose that. And I think you could kind of. But there's only like two things going on here: these people marching, and you know, what's St. Vincent's name again? I keep forgetting.
Annie Clark,
and Annie Clark kind of standing there where they're crazy, you know, David Byrne hair, and so you got to get that right, and it's kind of taken me out of the video. And I'm sorry to say, there's nothing against the director Chino Moya. I think it's a great video, but I don't know, maybe he just got, maybe just, what I'm imagining is like Chino Moya in the corner, like just like wringing his hands, like so upset because he got a bunch of extras and no one know how to march.
Maybe he is upset about that. I'd be if I mean it took you out of it and you're saying it publicly, so.
And so would you go on record, Adam? Is this the worst marching in a music video of all time?
Because we may have to research.
Putting words in his mouth.
Yeah. Well, I get. Well, the thing is like here. Yeah, no. Hold on a second. I don't want to be. See, this is. I sometimes get confused because I think nobody ever listens to this, and then the next thing I know, when I say something stupid, somebody like Chino Moyo's listening to it, or you know,
Saint Vincent.
Yeah, Saint Vincent's listening to it and crying. This was made in Spain, apparently, though.
Somebody said that.
Yeah, somebody did say that. So anyway, otherwise I loved the video. I thought, and when we saw the lyric video, or not the lyric video, but the audio, which was just her standing there, you know, this was obviously taken from the video, which was kind of fun.
So I wanted to quickly talk about the Ashley video by Big Sean, directed by Ellis Ball. It came out late last week after we recorded the podcast. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because it kind of ties in to an ongoing conversation that we've had on this podcast, and that is... typically we've complained for J. Cole's Crooked Smile music video, and there was also a Drake music video, Hold On, I'm Going Home, where the subject matter of the video was so off base song that it kind of didn't make sense to us. And we've talked about this before, and I wanted to bring Ashley up as kind of like a counter example to those videos, because it's, you know, the song Ashley is about a breakup, you know, it's about a rocky relationship that seems to be coming to an end, and that's not at all what the music video is about. But the kind of vibe of the song and the vibe of the video really blend together well. And so, you know, I just wanted to bring this up as an example of, you know, although the subject matter of the video and song aren't exactly the same thing, it still has the same kind of feeling and tone to them. And that's why, you know, this video, you know, we put as a staff pick, and those other videos we kind of were saying didn't make sense to us, and I just wanted to kind of bring that up.
Yep. Yeah, well, this Ashley video is kind of in a, there's a few weird trends of developing like in late January, early February this year. One of them is a sort of like ultra violent kind of taking a main character and putting him in situations out of his control, which this definitely falls into. You know, the thumbnail is Big Sean with, you know, tape around his mouth, and the whole video has a sort of a violent undertone to it. But I definitely think that this, you know, we get so many music videos that are basically like, you know, acting out a song, and you know, that matches the content, but sometimes it doesn't even match the tone. This kind of, you can match the tone without matching the content.
Let's talk about some stuff from this week.
We should have a PowerPoint that goes along with this podcast.
This should be a video podcast. It should be like how, have you ever seen video clips of like the Rush Limbaugh show, where she, like a camera in his like studio, he's got like a Home Depot t-shirt on, and while he records it, we should do that.
They used to air like Howard Stern videos on E! Of the radio show on E. Yeah,
well, they were, that would be cool though. Really,
That would be
a split screen of the three of us sitting on our computers. People
does
fucking
Skype
love that.
Do
shit.
That? Does Skype do a three-way split screen?
No, but you know who does?
We each have to hire our individual camera crews. No, we got to go big here. Okay, so we each hire a camera crew to film us and kind of like go around our heads, get close-ups on our face when we're talking. Yeah, go real.
The Diane Rehm show does that. They post all sorts of videos online. They post like whole shows, which is not. You guys listen to the Diane Rehm show? No, I'm. Anyway, I haven't.
Don't even know what that is.
You don't know what the Diane Rehm show is?
I don't.
I'm with Doug. I'm not sure what.
Well,
that
you.
Is
well, it's a U.S. public radio show, so I don't think you'd get it, to Adam. Although we get Q with Gian Galmeshi here in the U.S.
Don't
many
that
places. That's a Canadian radio show put on by CBC.
What station does the Diane Rehm show come on?
It comes on your local NPR affiliate from 10 a.m. to noon, and with host Diane Rehm. It's a conversation about sometimes politics, sometimes other topics, and it's a call-in show in part. Anyway, nobody wants to hear about this.
One more. I'm just curious. Is NPR basically the equivalent to RCBC radio over here in Canada?
It is, yeah. NPR is National Public Radio.
And, I didn't know that. I'm familiar with some parts of NPR, but I didn't know that they had a talk radio component.
Well, and the Q is distributed by PRI, Public Radio International in the U.S., and so it just depends where you are in the U.S. if your NPR affiliate picks it up. And there you go. Yeah,
so music videos from this week, which is the topic of the show.
Well, I was talking about this kind of trend that is definitely, like, I don't know if you guys are seeing this as well, but there's a lot of, like, violent shit but kind of dark stuff going on. And not just even, like, just kind of bleakly dark. I'm talking about, like, the Ghost by Mystery Skulls video, the Burbank by Harriet video. There's just some weird stuff going on this week.
That Burbank video.
But mixed, and what was the one you sent me, Doug? We didn't staff pick it, but I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, the one with Screech in it?
Yeah. Oh my God, that was a messed up video. But it only has like 175 views.
Yeah.
And then, but then mixed in with that are these like ultra sugary, like very kind of happy, feel good, you know, kind of videos, like the Ben Winston directed One Direction one that came out just a few days ago, where it's, you couldn't get any more shinier and happier. So why don't we delve into the kind of darker stuff and tell us about the one with Screech. Adam, did you guys get Screech? Did you guys get Saved by the Bell in Canada growing up?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay, good.
I didn't see this video. Which one?
I forgot this
in a video.
Yeah, I forgot to say I sent this to one Adam, and I forgot to send it to the other. What was I don't have that one pulled up, even though I said let's make sure to talk about this. What's it called again?
I'm gonna pause it, and I'm gonna. It is deleted scene stutter. He does not look like Screech at all. And
he looks, Dustin Diamond, like, that's what he looks like now. And he's kind of tried to keep his career going in certain ways. So, but it hasn't really worked out for him.
So this is one of those ones in the veins of these kind of like really dark videos. Because in the beginning, you hear like a guy with saying on the phone that he put something together for him, and it's like a big favor to him. He called in his people, his favors and stuff, but nobody cares about him. Like you're basically implying that his career is dead. And then at first you don't know who it is that's being talked to, but then you realize that it's Screech, Dustin Diamond. And, you know, he's trying to get to what it turns out to be an audition. And on the way, he's, like, beaten up by a bunch of, like, guys in a garage. Then he goes to a party and is what I would interpret to be as drowned in a party. But it seems like he's playing, like, himself, like Dustin Diamond.
Yeah, like, this seems like actually a pretty pretty solid, serious effort to act, really. Like, not a comedic role or...
Definitely,
well, yeah. I think it's a little bit of... like satire, right? So like Dustin Diamond, like since Saved by the Bell, has like had like a really sad career. Like he like did like couldn't get any excuse me, couldn't get any real acting gigs, and then he did like a porn that came out. I don't know if you guys remember this.
Yeah, he did some stand-up, a porn, and I think he exposed some dark Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, but he did a tell-all book that like basically said that he was like the outcast of that show, and like nobody, none of the cast liked him. And then he did like celebrity boxing, which we promise this will be the first only mention of celebrity boxing on this podcast. Is Dustin Diamond. So he's had like a really shitty bad career. So when you see him in like driving around in this music video with this 1992 Honda Pacific that breaks down on him, like part of it is like this is Dustin Diamond's life. But then he's like getting beat up and shit. That stuff probably doesn't really happen to him. It's just like taking this idea of like shitty Dustin Diamond life and putting it to life in this music video and cranking it up a notch.
But it gets really dark because, you know, after he's been beaten up, he went to this audition, which is like basically like three, like, you know, early 20s kids, you know, auditioning in some, you know, hotel room. Then this woman pulls up who we saw at the beginning of the video, and she kind of takes him to a party. But, you know, he doesn't seem to know who she is, and it feels like she's pulling up because he is Dustin Diamond, right? It just kind of feels like that way. But she's sort of like this kind of weird, kind of like shadowy siren figure, and pulls him into this party and is always kind of leading him down pathways. Someone following somebody else is another big theme that seems to be creeping up this week. And, you know, and then she kind of lures him into a pool and drowns him. I don't know if that was your interpretation as well, guys, but that was mine.
That's kind of what I saw happening, just like the worst possible end to this day.
But it's definitely just not a place where I thought something like this would go. Because when you have someone like Screech and, you know, like, oh, he's in a music video, you think, and he's kind of making fun of the fact that he hasn't really had, you know, had that much of success after Saved by the Bell, you think it's going to be a little bit lighthearted. This is like a messed up video.
Yeah,
it's actually pretty cool. I like it. I think this is pretty. It's a neat idea. It's a good concept. Washed up actor kind of playing himself.
And this video only works at the level that it does because it's Screech in this video. Like if it's just some like older guy that looks like a washed up actor, it doesn't necessarily have like that same resonance that it does because it actually is a washed up actor. Like
they could have used like Pauly Shore or a plethora of other similar actors too, and it would have worked probably.
I think Screech is like the guy you look at as far as like the worst, maybe not the absolute worst, but just like even Pauly Shore has had like his post major success little highlights and stuff, but like Screech has like just like he's done the type of things that you do when you're trying to hold on to relevancy, you know, celebrity boxing and porn and shit. Like that's almost a caricature of what like happens to you in Hollywood after success.
Yeah, porn's pretty hurting.
Porn's pretty bad.
I'd be in a porn. Somebody asked.
Well, yeah, but you weren't on Saved by the Bell, the new class.
That's true. But
porn wasn't your attempt to rekindle your career.
And then life imitates art. I mean, I don't know if this is like the main embed for this video, but we're rocking like 175 views, like for real.
Yeah, I know, right? Even so, I mean, this is the Deleted Scenes Band YouTube account. Like, this is definitely their official YouTube account. I don't know if they have more. You know, like Deleted Scenes is, you know, they have a verified Twitter account, but they're rocking, you know, about 1,000 Twitter followers. So it's not like they're a massive band either. So but that is an interesting point that like it didn't, because if it went viral, it would be like, yeah, he's back. But it didn't. It's getting, you know, yeah, it's you and I could have directed a video and probably gotten that many views for it.
But we should see if we can make it go viral. Let's promote that crap.
Yeah. Let's pound it to the ground. It's not the right term. But yeah, it's a fucking video. It's definitely worth showing to people. And bringing up and talking about, and that's why we did it.
So another video that we should definitely talk about, Doug, I think I put it in the database, but I think you picked it out and watched it, is this Stuck Down the Wrong Rabbit Hole by Tree, featuring Beat Culture and Lena Kuhn. This is not exactly a sort of a band. It's called Tree Collective. So actually, the name of the band is Tree. Okay, but it's like an electronic piece. It's not like,
and it's yeah, song. And it's interesting too because there were two music videos out by two different artists named Tree this week.
Yeah,
so, yeah, that was fun and complicated, and they're both good. The Tree Like Whoa, which is a rap video. Tree is also the name of a Chicago rapper, and it's also a pretty good video and song. But yeah, that's not the one I snap picked. This Stuck Down the Rabbit Hole one is the Tree video that I snap picked this week, and Yeah, I thought it was a really interesting video.
He's in this house, which is an amazing house. He's got a pretty sweet house. Whoever's house it is that they filmed in this, in the woods, and he kind of hears something or whatever, and he goes into a treehouse and takes a spyglass with him, and he looks. This is all live action, and he spots a cartoon white rabbit hopping away, and he gets on this little motorcycle thing, and I can't tell if he's really shitty at driving this motorcycle or really good, because
I think he's actually good, but they're having him do crazy things, like when he goes in the circle and stuff.
Oh yeah,
it's really funny.
So, and then basically he looks through this white rabbit, and the white rabbit goes down a hole, of course, and he follows him down the rabbit hole, and then it turns into a cartoon, which sort of takes a little bit of a kind of a dark, surreal turn at that point. But it starts off with, like, you know, he's eating cereal on a couch. He's eating cereal out of a giant popcorn ball. So, you know, it starts out so normal and kind of just goes in such a weird direction pretty quickly.
Yeah, what I really liked about this video is it was just it was like a lot of things, you know, like the Alice in Wonderland kind of vibe that it had to it, starting in live action, and then him like doing rabbit down that rabbit hole and then falling down. You know, this had like a very Alice in Wonderland vibe to it, and then that mixed with the sweet moped tricks, and it's a pretty good song too. Those are the things that drew me to it.
But hold on, I'm kind of thinking about this a little bit more. I think he's really bad at driving the moped. Because okay. In the beginning, he's like,
Oh, and also, I also really like when he rips he's got like dress pants on, and he rips the dress or like slack style pants on. He rips those off, and he's got another pair on underneath. That's also a highlight. But yeah, let me watch this now. Him riding this moped. He's definitely dressed the part.
So anyway, it's directed by Steve DeBall and Oliver Nickel, and yeah, because he just seems to just like have like a really hard time controlling it. I know this is like not even a part of the video at all.
I'm going with bad.
Which, you know, obviously any of us were like, yeah, let me add that motorcycle. But he's on like a forest floor with like leaves and stuff. That's why, like, when he doesn't like stop the bike and get off it. He like wipes out down a hill. And like during that shot, when the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, I gotta go really fast down that hill, and it's all leaves down there. I'm not sure how much traction he's gonna get. And sure enough, he wiped out. So I think he's inexperienced at this. I'm putting it out there. This is extremely important to this video.
It is. It's very important.
I think it's kind of a cool video too, in the sense that, oh, I got the feeling. I don't know for sure, but it seems like a video that had probably a relatively small budget, and they did a lot with what they had. I find there wasn't a lot of animation, so they probably cut some costs down on that. Like the animated sequence is quite brief, but really cool at the same time. I just thought it was a well pieced together video for probably like a very small budget.
Did you guys get that feeling? Yeah, definitely. Because like the setting of the treehouse, you could tell somebody either knew somebody with a sweet treehouse, because this isn't like a thing you climb up. It's got a spiral staircase. And while I was watching this, I was like on the edge of my seat, because like I have like one or two trees of that like size in my backyard, and my wife will not let me build a treehouse. But I was like, oh, like I could do that, because it's like a spiral staircase up a tree. Like, obviously, like, somebody just had that, and they you know, just went there. So, yeah, a lot of the video, it's just basically, you know, filming the guy in the motorbike, filming him around the treehouse. It definitely doesn't seem like a high-budget deal.
You should build the treehouse, I think, Adam. Like, I could be the IMDb office.
I was going to wake up on Saturday, and I'm going to be out there with a whole bunch of wood that I bought at Home Depot at, like, 6 in the morning, and be like, I'm not doing anything. I'm definitely not building a treehouse.
This is not treehouse wood. Clearly it's not. You see treehouse written on anything other than these plants? Yeah. Let's not. Big shout out to the Snorri cam that they use also, which is fun when he gets into the hole. They rock the Snorri cam. Much love for that.
The Snorri cam? What's the Snorri cam?
Like, a Snorri cam is when you kind of have like a device to your like attached to the person on camera, and the camera's like facing them, so when they move, the camera's going with them. You know, it's like
In Requiem for a Dream, they use that.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know that had a name. There we go. I learned something. Yeah, if everybody, if you didn't know that, you learned something on this podcast.
Snorri Cam, write it down, and then find the blog post on DIYfilmmaking.com.
DIY-filmmaking.com.
What a dumb joke, and so, nobody gets with us.
So that was a great, that was a really good one. And so there's a few other that I really, really want to talk about, because there's one that may be my favorite music video of the year so far. But we got to talk about Coming of Age by Foster the People, directed by our good friend's brother.
Which Doug. Is probably Doug's favorite of the year, actually.
It's definitely up there. I mean, I think it's definitely one of my favorite videos of the year so far. Could be the top. Could be the tip of the top. So yeah, I like this one a lot. Should we talk about it?
No. we should definitely talk about it, because this came out for I don't know, Doug. Have you talked to brother about post releasing this, aside from verifying credit information?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this was released at 6 a.m. on Friday, and we know, because, Doug, you got up specifically to add this to the database.
Yeah, at 6 a.m. on Thursday, rather.
Thursday, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, and not only that, it also has been playing on MTV and VH1 today, which is interesting. It premiered both on Vivo and on television at 6 a.m. That's fun. I did. I woke up at 6 a.m., added this to the database.
So this has the sort of, I hesitate to call it the brother style, because I know directors do not take kindly to being, like, pigeonholed into a style, but they definitely have a distinctive, like, you can definitely tell their hands have been on this.
Yeah, they definitely have, like, especially in their editing, you know what I mean? The videos, the concepts of all of their videos have all been very unique and different, but the way that they edit things, it's definitely, they've definitely got a signature for sure, I think, and so, and yeah, this definitely falls in that. And I've got some interesting tidbits about this video that aren't out there yet, and I'd like to drop those on you. First of all, this music video was shot on 16mm, so that's fun.
Oh wow!
Yeah, which is unexpected. I didn't expect to hear that. I mean, you can kind of see it, and you can kind of see it in the footage, but I immediately thought that was just put in there.
I thought that was one of those iMovie filters.
Things that comes with the program when you download it. Yeah. But yeah, if you're familiar with Brother's work, this is definitely their most narrative video. But like all of their other videos, everything kind of is happening at the same time. You know, stuff is very layered. There's, you know, kind of footage. You could see things going on. You know, at the same time and stuff. So it's like we mentioned, it's definitely got their editing style to it. But I really enjoyed the video. The performance elements are really interesting too. The kind of the set that they have there with like the diamond shaped set pieces and stuff like that, and the way that the band and Foster the People kind of performs it, it's really interesting. I'm really into the shoulder dance moves. I don't know how you guys feel about those.
Oh, I'm 100% behind shoulder dance moves.
They play heavily in this video.
This is a video that definitely does some interesting things with angles. Like Doug, you mentioned the diamond shape. It's sort of like a stretched out horizontally a little bit, and you know it's in the background, and they sort of are in the cutout of it at one point. But also that the camera kind of tilts. Doing the performance shots on kind of like an angle or a degree that is on par with diamond. So there's all sorts of, you know, there's no straight lines in this really whatsoever, as well as a lot of, you know, really interesting lighting effects. So I thought the performance aspects of this were really fantastic. And Foster the People are a band that, you know, they it's funny because I think they're a really interesting band performance wise. They're just kind of interesting to look at, but you know, a lot of their videos, you know, interestingly enough, don't have any performance segments to them. Like Houdini was like our number one video of 2012, but they die at the beginning. You know, it's not.
Yeah, and then their performances are all like way band style, like them as robots performing.
Yeah. I thought this video was great. Whether or not you're a Foster the People fan or not, because this is a tough segment for them, I guess, you know, they had such a huge first album, and with so many, you know, great singles and so many really popular songs off of it, that a second album is really tough, especially, I think, in the music video portion, because you're trying to define some visuals to go along with defining your sound as well. So Brother had a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I think it's similar. I don't know if, like, I'm it's a weird comparison, but like I remember when MGMT like kind of like really crossed over with that first album, and Foster the People kind of really crossed over too. Both were like bands that crossed over to the mainstream and got really popular like radio songs. And MGMT kind of, both with the music and the video, kind of went into like a really non-poppy direction. And I think with Foster the People, that with all their music still has the same sound as her early album, they're keeping their music videos from kind of looking like your traditional pop videos. You know, they die, like I said, they die at the very beginning of their last video, and in this video, it's just styled like a lot different than, you know, what you're seeing in like a Justin Bieber video or something like that. It's got a completely different look than that kind of video, and so it's cool. One other thing we should mention, the lead female in this video is Dylan Penn, who's Sean Penn's daughter. Weird fun fact.
Cool trivia.
That would be a pop-up video fact if pop-up video were around. I think they still are, but whatever.
They're still at LLC.
What?
pop-up video is still at LLC. They still pay taxes. It was a dumb, stupid joke. Why'd you make me say it again?
I still don't understand it, but I think it's time to move on.
Yeah, let's push past. What's the next video we talk about? What's the one that you were going to say is perhaps your favorite video of the year?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I don't know. I just watched this today, so I don't know if it's just the first viewing glow, but I really, really love the Ghost video by Mystery Skulls, directed by Josh Thomas. And this is a video that is kind of a parody / homage to The Exorcist, the 1970-something video, movie or whatever. And in this one, it's the same plot. This woman is, this girl is possessed, and her parents bring in a priest. But the guy, I'm not even sure who the guy is. I was going to look it up, but I forgot to.
The guy playing the priest?
Yeah, a guy playing the priest comes in, and he's basically the star of the video. I mean, yeah. He's got like, he's dancing all over the place, and he has like a huge attitude. And
he's singing the lyrics. He's also singing the lyrics of the song.
Exactly. Yeah. And he you know, he goes. You have to watch it. He's done
as if the lyrics are like some sort of form of prayer to exorcise yeah, the demon right. from this girl.
Exactly. Yeah. And the you know, he's standing, and there's a surprise ending, so I won't spoil it for you. But like when she's levitating, he's like kind of like standing on her. And, but anyway, the one of the interesting things is when he leaves, he's all, you know, like super pumped up about himself and everything, and he kind of goes past an old priest who let me just look up his name real quick. But he's in like a lot of like B movies as a priest, an old priest. He's somebody, if you were like into that kind of genre of movie. I thought maybe,
should I miss that?
Yeah,
Carl
Peschek. He's been in like a Cult and Repose and like all sorts of like kind of like lower and Static, all sorts of lower budget not lower budget, but short films, short like horror films. An old man.
It's important to note that this is like a funky ass song. Like this isn't some like it's like not a dreary song or anything. Like this is a song to dance to, and like this is like a priest. the priest gets there. The parents are all concerned. There's like a monster, you know, like a possessed girl in a bed, and like this is like he comes in like freaking Michael Jackson, like just getting that. Like there's like a like. There's a silhouette of him as in the door before they open it and stuff, like leaning there with a top hat over his eye. Like he's a funky dude, and so it's important to note that this is like a dance, a discotheque kind of a song. So it's a dumb thing to say, discotheque.
No, that's a really cool thing to say. And the guy's name is Robert Pill. But I really love this video. It's one of those videos that's kind of hard to describe, and it's just, I think it's not really anything that's significant on an intellectual level, but it's just a really fun video, a really entertaining one.
So I'm always a sucker for when someone who clearly isn't in the band or definitely doesn't appear to be in the band is mouthing the lyrics of the song. I'm always a big fan of that, and it is used very well in this video. And it's also used very well in the video we mentioned before, the Burbank video by Harriet. You guys remember that? Did you guys watch the whole video and see that part at the end? That weird looking.
I didn't get to see this one. I must confess, I saw a part of it and I wasn't able to finish it. Not that I didn't like it. I just had to do something else.
What? This was the sexiest video this week, and you didn't watch it?
I know. Staff picked it this evening, and I was busy.
So what I love about this video is it's got kind of like a turn to it. It starts like kind of like this dark. Kind of like strip club video. This guy is kind of enamored with this stripper in a strip club, but he also seems kind of like a bummed out guy. He doesn't seem happy with life. It's like a strip club. And then suddenly, like, the guy who earlier in the video is playing a security guard, like, in the middle of the video is suddenly now singing the song, and he's clearly not in this band. Like, this is clearly an actor. I've seen him in other music videos before. And, like, it takes, like, it was already surreal, and then, like, it got even more surreal and, like, to a hilarious level at that point. And at that point, I didn't even need to watch the rest of the video. I was ready to put it up on our homepage.
Did you watch the rest of the video?
I staff picked it before I did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you usually watch the whole video before you staff pick it, or you just say fuck it, I'm going right for it?
It's like a tickle in my heart. Like as soon as I feel that, I'm like staff pick.
I do this. There's a moment where there's a point where there's no way that video is taking a dump. Like it's just
yeah, right. Up. It's perfect. Right. It's reached the point where it can't. It hasn't. It can't have done it. It can't have done it. Unless like the director died and they handed it off to somebody else to do the last 30 seconds, and then that would be super sad.
I guess that's an interesting question, though, of like what, because we watch so many music videos, not to toot our own horn, we just have nothing else to do. And we, you know, collectively watch a lot of videos, and sometimes it just, you know, you just obviously kind of click with a video. And out of, you know, hundreds, you know, a few kind of rise to the top. And it's, they're always, you know, very varied in terms of, you know, quality and style and popularity and things like that. And, you know, where they come from, what kind of music genre they are. But, yeah, there's just, like, something that you, you're like, okay, this music video gets it. It understands it. But there's no, like, common, like, thematic thread or stylistic thread or whatever. It just, it's something that's kind of beyond that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree. You know, this Angel Ocean High Five video is from this week, right?
Yeah, that came out this week.
Chat it up. What was it about?
It's a good one. It's a performance video, so it features Angel performing the song, and like the song, it kind of has a bit of a 60s vibe to it. I don't know if I'm not real good at dropping old reference points, but maybe like a bit of a Nancy Sinatra feel to this video.
I would agree with that. Not crazy at all. I think
definitely. Okay, yeah. So it's got kind of that kind of presentation. It has like an older stock to it to give it that aged look, and really cool lighting too. There's some sequence after the halfway point where it's mostly just like a blackened room and just her kind of dancing and. Yeah, really just a lot of tone and a moody piece, but no narrative, just some performance. Good stuff, for sure.
Yeah, this one was... Angel Olsen is... I love this song, first of all, because this is, I think, a new album, right?
Yeah, her new album is going to drop, like, soon.
Because her older album was really, really good, but it was very, very quiet and very kind of withering. I think it was called Acrobat. Or at least the first song of it was called Acrobat, and you know this one is definitely more of a you know a louder song. It's a kind of funny song. It's high five. The chorus goes like, you know, if you're lonely, you know, high five. I am too, but it definitely has like that. The video definitely has that Nancy Sinatra vibe. It's like retro, even down to her kind of the clothes she's wearing. And it's, you know, we don't see a lot of that like weird like green lighting either. Like you're right, it's a very like interesting lighting thing, but the showcase video for her is basically all her, and it works really well.
She does some cool little hand gesture things that I like too. Like she does something on her lap with her fingers, and I'm sure it has some significance that I missed, but it was cool. I thought it was neat.
And I love the ending of the video because you see there's literally nobody in this video aside from her until the very end, where there's a guy at a ladder like throwing confetti on her. As they pull out, and you know, you kind of see. But the thing is like, there's no like, at that point, you already know it's a set. You've seen all these lights and stuff around, so there's no like reveal that this is some sort of, you know, construct that's we've been fooled into thinking is something else. It's just a dude on a ladder, and I like that. I like that a lot.
It's working for me too.
Is it?
It does. It's why that was one of the reasons I picked it.
And she, I don't know if it was just this, I don't know. She's, this is an interesting sweater.
It's an interesting sweater?
Yeah. Have you guys ever seen a sweater like this?
It is interesting. It's cool. I'd like to, the fabric, it looks like something you'd want to see what that feels like.
Yeah, you just want to touch. You just want to touch it with your cheek.
Yeah, let's email Angel Olsen and ask if we could touch her sweater.
It looks scratchy, maybe.
It does look a little. I was thinking that it doesn't look like too like. You don't want to wear that against your bare skin. That's the thing.
That's for sure.
But so this is a video that I was watching earlier, and I want to bring it up. But I almost am positive that neither of you guys have watched this. Did you guys watch the Laid Back Luke Collide video?
Yeah, I did watch it, actually. Okay. Yeah. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? I actually mentioned Weird Science when I wrote about the Chromeo video last week, which did the mannequin nod. And this one kind of has like a Weird Science, but it has a twist on that, eh?
Yeah, it definitely has that element of a little bit of Weird Science, but it's a little cutesy. I don't know, but so let me just explain the very basic plot. Like these two dudes, these like kids, I don't know, maybe like early high school, are crushing on this like mom type, single mom type who lives across the street, and so they, where the Weird Science comes in, they like make a robot, a dude to kind of like pick her up. But they can see, you know, in their little...
Who we think is going to be a... Well, I thought it was going to be a total Weird Science, and they were just going to make a woman.
Yeah, exactly.
Then reveal is that they made a dude. And I was like, oh, okay. That's an interesting twist. Well, carry on.
Well, my first indication that it was not a woman robot. It was... They had a male mannequin with one of those, like, big round packages on him. And it was, like, front and center on the screen. I'm like, okay, they're probably not going to make a female. But, so anyway...
Took me a little longer, I guess.
I love that they're using, like Adam Alexander's computer, too, by the way. It's like...
It is.
These are computers from 1996. And like one of them is a TV and not even a computer.
So they're trying to like they're trying out different guys that they're making. First they have like this kind of like macho, sporty guy. But he's, I don't know, he's too goofy or whatever. And then they try like a really sensitive guy who kind of breaks down crying. And then but they have these two other girls that are their age kind of keep coming into the picture to like help them kind of fine tune this dude to like, you know, basically, you know, have sex with this lady across the street so they could watch through their computer. I don't know how they have engineered that, but anyway. But then it turns out that this woman is also a robot engineered by the girls. Kind of a cutesy ending, but I didn't see it coming.
Unexpected ending, hitting you up with it.
It is a little bit more neatly kind of narratively tied up than I think a lot of videos we've seen lately. The music videos are always a little afraid to kind of like have one of those kind of short films like, oh, you know, like, oh, that's, you know, that's ties in here, blah, blah, blah moment. I think a lot of music videos nowadays at least tend to go the way of the, the other video.
A bit more cryptic, maybe?
Right, just like the Burbank, the Harriet Burbank video by Ethan Berger, where, you know, things are kind of left open. It's more of like an open narrative. But I think sometimes...
Almost like a piece of a bigger film or something, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Usually is what they're like. But, yeah.
But then, you know, I think there's definitely like a merit too in like in this medium to have something that gets kind of like wrapped up and you're like and has like a little bit of a satisfying end to it, especially if it, you know, they kind of develop these characters, even though they're just kids or whatever, over the course of the video, and then kind of tie it in with a little surprise ending. And that's difficult to do, and I think I found it really well executed.
So I believe you guys. I have to watch it now since you guys say it was good. And I will. And as if you guys, if you were listening, didn't watch it, go watch it, because Adam say it. It was good. You know what else you should watch, but you can't watch it on our website right now. But soon you will be able to some Basic Instinct by The Acid, directed by Dugan O'Neill and Rye X.
Which is thus far my favorite of the week so far.
Let's hope we get it into the database soon. This video is so good in its premiere that we jumped the gun and added a version of it that was the unofficial version to the website for a little bit. But this video featured the dance collective or dance group, some word, dance something. Their name is Wife, and they're this very interesting looking dance art group.
So some of the things that struck me with the video, I'd like to have you guys weigh on in this if you've both seen it. So basically we have these three dancers, and they kind of have these crazy costumes on. They're like pastel colored, and they have like an octopus looking weird, I don't know what you want to call it, like hoosh ball looking hat on or something. And basically what they're doing is they're jumping or falling or something. But where I got really confused was around the halfway point when they're like ridiculously high. And at first I thought maybe it was like, so also the video is shot in slow motion, so I thought maybe they had like a trampoline that was out of the shot to give them the height, and then that was what everything was based on. But then later, halfway point, they're way too high for it to be a trampoline. So then I thought maybe they were falling or dropping from something. So like, what did you guys notice that, how high they actually are? It could just be effects too, I don't know, but
yeah, they could be like comping out some kind of land surface or something like that, because they are impossibly high, or they could just be moving them up higher. Using other, you know, just by rotoscoping them up higher. But it seems like it would be very complicated, because like you mentioned, they're koosh ball heads with like these little individual strands kind of like flying everywhere, and their outfits are very interesting too, because these are Wife is they appear to be ladies, and they're wearing these really like flowy outfits that, when they're backlit by the sun, like show the silhouette of their body kind of within this larger shape, and it's just like really interesting to look at and watch.
They almost reminded me of characters you'd see in like a Dr. Seuss book or something.
Yeah, but just like floating through the desert.
Floating deserts. It was good video, really good, actually. And then there's some cool underwater shots near the later half of the video, which are really amazing too, where they kind of just emerge from water, and we get to see those cool strands. And this thing will look great on Vimeo when we get a Vimeo stream.
It'll yeah, look really good. And Dugan O'Neill is a very interesting director, because he's kind of got two styles of music videos that we've seen him. We've seen him put out. He's got music videos that have a very similar vibe to this one, which are, you know, kind of like not so narrative, and they have, you know, they're more visual. And then he's like his Let's Go video for Matt and Kim, which he stars in, which is like a narrative video where he's playing a photographer, like based on site awkward family photos. So it's interesting to see these kind of two different sides of Dugan O'Neill. And he's a director who doesn't do music videos as frequently anymore. He's doing a lot more commercials and like web series style work now. So it's always exciting to see a Dugan O'Neill music video come out. And I will direct you to Dugan O'Neill's Vine account, because him and Ryex actually have together made some really hilarious vines. You should check out as well. And we'll link if that's possible to link to a Vine account. We will do that in the show notes.
I think you can now. Didn't Vine roll out the well? I don't think you can do profiles for any like unless you're like super cool. I think like
Dugan's pretty cool, but I don't think he's super cool.
But I'm talking about like brands and shit. Like they
rolled out Sephora.
Yeah. Like they rolled it out for like if you're like a brand or whatever. Like so you can make sure you get your like trademarked brand. Otherwise, you just you throw it to the hounds and everybody registers. You know, vine.co/Coca-Cola or whatever, and dicks around like that. So anyway,
fucking hounds.
Hounds.
Did you watch this video, Adam?
No, because it wasn't on our site, and I forgot. Right.
No, it's fine. I mean, whatever.
This goes back to this problem of the blog premiere where the blog has its own like you know super duper video setup that they like to roll out.
Yeah, and then nothing.
Yeah, Anonymous is notorious for not only doing these exclusive premieres, but they just seem to get like the coolest videos too. So it's like extra irritating because
I love their taste. Like they curate great content. They put out great original content, and like I love it. I just want to be able to share it on our website to people too, and help amplify their content. That's all I want to do. It's certainly not the first time we've talked about this on this podcast. It certainly won't be the last. But it's a bummer. It's a bummer because then it caused us to do stupid shit like put up the wrong embed, and
which has now been pulled. I noticed. So
yeah. So obviously that was you know, and that stuff happens because people can rip this off of this internet website. Anybody can. I'm pretty sure all three of us on this podcast know how to do that and could leak. You know, take this video and put it on YouTube if we wanted to. Anybody who's 20 and or. You know, between 20 and 50 probably can do that. And so I don't know why I said 20. But it's weird that they're trying to do this. It's a losing battle and frustrating for us.
Well, if it's the kids in the music video with the robots or any indication, you can be really, really young and do all sorts of crazy things with computers. Basically,
that's true.
Basically impossible things when you're young. This is part of the whole, belief through old people. They're like, you know, you're young. You know how to do this. You know, the technology, you can do whatever. You know.
Yeah, 20 was a dumb age to say. Okay, dump on me some more, guys. It's fucking Adam Alexander. Fucking Adam Alexander dumping on me.
I said, hey.
No, yeah. Of course not. No.
So that's been our show. I think we got to go and watch now the last episode of Jay Leno. This is a historic night.
Oh, let's get it! You're 15 minutes late. You missed his cold open. That's not what it's called.
No. His show starts at 11:30.
Oh shit! You got so much time. Good. You won't miss headlines.
I'm gonna get a snack. We have a popcorn maker machine. I'm gonna make some popcorn.
Oh, listen to you. Can we talk real quick about the fact that when Vimeo staff makes a video now, they can put a GIF for their video thumbnail?
That's sweet.
How fun is that?
Yeah, I love the GIF GIF.
Have they done it for music videos yet?
Yeah, any video that gets staff picked. So when they, I'm pretty sure that's what it is because I've only seen it on staff pick videos.
Yeah, it's only the staff picks.
Now on their blog post, they insinuated that they were like run it by the people who made the video. This seems a little time consuming. Doug, have you? Because you didn't. Who did you interview this week that had a staff pick basically immediately after Isaac?
Isaac Ravi Shankara.
You gotta see from him to see if they had any dialogue with him about what the GIF would be. Because, that's when you're staff picking stuff and you're you know, the source of the video is from, like, the director or the artist themselves, you know, the art, they have to kind of be okay with, like, what's represented in your video.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because especially on Vimeo, because Vimeo gives you a lot of, like, you can just pick your screenshot from any point in the video. You can even upload an image to represent it. And that's been something that they've been offering for a while. And it's interesting, too, because sometimes they pick some, like, unexpected, like, stuff that doesn't, it doesn't like really necessarily make it better. Like there's a short film that was it played at Sundance called I'm a Mitzvah. It's directed by Benjamin Berman, who is he directs music videos. He's on More Media. He's signed to More Media. He also works for Absolutely Productions and produces and a lot of stuff for Tim and Eric. Short film was also shot by Singhao Yam, who is a DP in for music videos frequently. And yeah, the screenshot they chose for that, let me show you guys. We'll link it in the show notes. But it's basically just the like two of the characters in the video, Ben Schwartz, who's the main character, and he's just kind of like rocking back and forth, and that's the gif they chose of him kind of like gently rocking back and forth. It's like doesn't really like it's like, oh cool, so at some point he moves left and right slightly. It's an interesting choice of use of this technology. So
this stuff is always, it seems like really future, even though like GIFs are such an old, they're like old as like any other image format. The fact that they're kind of, you know, being played, you know, like used as like, you know, instead of images, always seems like so futuristic to me. I don't know why.
I know, even when you see
you're right. It's cool. It's kind of become like groundbreaking in some strange way.
Yeah, it's true. When it's like true. when the GIF as a format is so old. I mean, there's absolutely nothing like high tech about it at all. It's basically just a bunch of images played sequentially. But I guess it's like this, in the simplicity of the in the format allows you to do so many things with it. Because there are those they're basically GIFs, but they call them like cinemagraphs or something like that.
Yeah, that Joel Compass video that
that was also
Ian and Cooper directed, which was shortlisted at South by Southwest, which if you check out our blog you can see the whole shortlist. But yeah, that one. So yeah, you're right, those cinemagraphs, I mean, they were crazy popular too, especially on Reddit.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things like when maybe like 2008, like if you could have told me or really anybody on the internet that like GIFs would like make a comeback, like I would have told you, you're like absolutely nuts, because they're kind of, they're like a little unwieldy in terms of size, and they don't like be
enough. Yeah, and because of sites like fucking BuzzFeed and stuff too, it has really brought them back. You know, BuzzFeed, their whole fucking business model is based on their ability to relate GIFs to your high school graduation or whatever the fuck they do with their articles. But whenever it's used in something like this where it like it does, like I think, you know, the I'm a Mitzvah one is a little bit more subtle, but like for some of the other ones that I've seen it used in, a really good example is how it's used on the Meg Myers Desire video that was also staff picked. And that was the first one I actually saw it on. And yeah, like it's more of like it's more effective in that video. Like it's on a TV. The TV keeps moving. It's just really interesting. But anyway.
Oh yeah,
a great way to tease a video too. I'd like to see that happen more. Like as opposed to those little 20-second teaser trailers that they drop. I would just as well see like, you know, one or two animated GIF frames of the video. That'd be a kind of a neat thing too.
That's it's really fucked up that you guys are both using GIF.
GIF.
No, I said GIF.
You've been
GIF. Did say GIF either. I liked it. It was good.
but no, I totally agree with that, because I don't know about you guys, but I find the whole, like there are some videos in our database that have 4 or 5 30-second trailers for, and if you add them all up, it's longer than the actual video. You know, it's you know, I think the trailers have their place. Like, I remember, like, I liked seeing the Katy Perry Roar video trailer, because I really, you know, was really interested in seeing what that video is going to look like. But in a lot of cases, you know, 2-3 trailers, I think a GIF gives you as much information as any of that.
Those trailers just become grabs for views. Like, One Direction, like, they'll do a whole week of trailers. They'll be like, new video in 5 days, new video in 4 days, new video in 3 days, and each time it's just like a trailer shown, like a 30-second clip. Oftentimes it's like the same, like it's like a 45-second video, and in all 30 seconds of that it's like the same shit. It's just like a little interview of one of the guys, like, oh, okay, well, this video to come out, guys, and then it's like the same 30-second trailer that follows it. And so
By the way, the Midnight Memories video that came out on January 31st was pretty good. Directed by Ben Winston, who's a frequent collaborator with One Direction for Story of My Life and Best Song Ever. It's funny. I thought it was pretty good.
It's surprising though. That video came out late last week. Last week was very back heavy. All of the big videos from last week, all of the ones at the top of the list and the most popular videos of the week, came out late in the week. And that one kind of got lost in the mix with Bieber and Enrique and obviously Shakira and Rihanna. That was a pretty quiet release for One Direction compared to those other ones.
Which is weird because it's a relatively ambitious video. I mean, it's
One Direction.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not as ambitious as Story of My Life, but it's definitely meant to have some viral stuff to it. But did you guys watch this video?
Yeah.
So I just don't understand. They go into like a kebab shop at like midnight or whatever, and the whole it's called Midnight Memories, and the whole point of the whole song is like is kind of glorifying like memories of maybe you're drunk. I don't know why you'd be at a kebab shop at midnight if you weren't drunk, but like all my memories of being drunk at midnight is like eating a cheeseburger in a McDonald's parking lot in Chicago in like 10 degree weather. I mean, it's not something that I look back like fondly on. So it was interesting to see, like, because the guy like jumps over the counter of the kebab shop and like takes a bite out of like the rotating like shawarma meat in the back there. It's just like they're supposed to be sober, but they're doing drunk stuff and they're like damaging property and stealing police boats. It's all complete mayhem. But anyway,
so one more thing that we have to direct people to: do either of you guys watch Kroll Show?
Yeah.
So Kroll Show this week on the episode, they had a fake hair, like 80s hair band music video from the 1987 band Sloppy Seconds with a Z at the end. And the song was called L.A. Deli. And it's just about them eating at delis late at night in L.A. And they're literally like name dropping places and like, it's really it's so fucking stupid but so hilarious. And they're just like, yeah, eating eggs and french fries and having eyeliner on and just running around. We'll link to that as well. Sloppy Seconds, Kroll Show.
So I believe the title of this podcast will be, I wrote it down, hold on, like a tickle in my heart.
I thought it was gonna be, I like that, because I but I also want to nominate It's Not Gonna Take It's Not Gonna Take a Dump or whatever Adam said.
We'll see you guys next week.